two advantages that a Balbatosin has over the Uman Hakimika. The first one is the Uman Hakimika is Zokuk L'chamorim U'machshirim. He needs machineries, he needs raw materials, they're not always available. Whereas the Baal Batochen, whatever Hashem can give him panosa out of sand. The second one we saw is that the conversion that the Uman Hakimi makes requires a lot of hard work and sometimes very dangerous. There's the fumes that come off from the melting process and the chemicals, whatever, there's a sakana there. Masha'en kerebal betochen is befanas bekalut without any sakana. You don't have to misaken himself to make a panosa. Those are the two advantages we've seen so far. A yisrein ha-shlishihu. Sh'uman ha-kemiko ein noisen emon ba-cherim legalot le-mesod umanusoy. The Uman ha-kemiki has to be a very private kind of a guy. He doesn't share his secret with anybody. He's scared for his life. If people find out his secret and they learn his patent, then they'll start doing what he's doing and then he won't have a panosa. Because the price of gold will go down. He won't have a decent living. So he's always worried about what's going to be. Baba Tochen, not that he's just not scared of anybody. He's glorified in this fact that it's not a secret. He's more than happy to share his secret with anybody. What's your secret? Teach him a Baba Tochen. The Uman Hakimi is going to be very careful how he lives his life and what he does. So that's another major advantage. Again, that's the Menuchas HaNefesh, the Baal B'tochen has. You don't have to be scared of anybody. He's not worried from anybody. I'm not scared what a person's going to do me.
Is there any advantages that the Uman HaKemik has over Baal B'tochen?
I have no idea. I'm learning this Chodesh of Avosan. There's no advantage that the Uman HaKemiki can have a Baal B'tochen because the Baal B'tochen has everything. He's not chaser nothing. We'll see. A Yisrael Navihu, Uman HaKemiki be'echrech oise achas mishtei eile. The Uman HaKemiki has a strategical decision to make. And he has one or two ways. Or shu machin kesef azav harbe. The one strategy is he makes lots and lots and lots of these precious metals. That he always has whenever he needs. He's got saved up. Or he can make a little bit whenever he needs. Those are his two choices. Whichever one he chooses, he's always going to be drowning in worry and fear. If he makes lots and lots, he's always scared that it'll get lost from him through all different kinds of stuff. He has to guard it, he has to hide it somewhere. He's always worried maybe it'll get stolen. And he's never calm. There's no menucha. He's got all this money sitting at home and he's worried that the Ganotim will come and take it. He has to bury it. He's worried. He's looking. He's got a higher guard. He's got an alarm system. What's going to be with all his wealth? He's got a better plan. Don't make so much. Make enough just for what you need. As Ushroba Daiga then as well. suddenly he'll need a lot of money, whatever, you know, his tax returns will come back or whatever. Lo antiev shanut liet soite, you won't be able to make them. There'll be a shortage of the raw materials that he needs. He won't be able to get one of the components, or he won't be able to find place to do it. He's always, whatever this guy does, he's always going to be worried. He's going to be worried. Will his shares go up? Will his shares go down? What's going to be? Will he have raw material? Will they have enough? Also, I make a lot. So he's got enough. Well, then he's worried about maybe he'll lose it. It'll get stolen. It'll get damaged. Whatever. Never happy, this guy. And you meet people like this. We all know people like this. Lots and lots of money. Well, they're walking around Bodega all the time. What you worried about? Or maybe the shares will go up. Maybe he'll lose his money. Maybe he'll make his money. Maybe this will happen. Maybe they'll steal it. Maybe about it. Yes, but Daigas is not a big broker. So those are the two choices he has, and he's always going to be worried. Baba Tochen's never worried because he knows that a Kodesh Baruch will give him panosa whenever he wants and wherever he wants and however he wants. How does the fetus get fed? How does the fetus get fed? Or a chicken in the egg? How does it get fed? It'll get fed. V'safroch b'toich ha-beitzer. She'en bo petach sh'darko efshel ha-knis mashu le'efroch mi'bachutz. There's no way to put food into the egg for the little chickling. How does he get fed? Who feeds the birds that are flying? Who feeds the fish in the sea? The ants. Everybody's getting fed. Everyone's getting fed. The whole world's being fed. Sometimes the lion doesn't have food. The zebra got away, so the hind goes hungry for a while, but sudden, come on, Shama Kosov, cream, roshu, vareovu. Sometimes the lion will go hungry. Avodosha Shem Loch Sokotoy, Venema, Loyari Vashem Nefesh Tzadik. The Nevil Tzadik will never starve. Venema, Nora Isigam Zakanti, Valoris Tzadik Neza, Vazorim of Akesh Lochem. No, we have kashas on that because we do see it. We do see it. Okay. But that's the Baal Batochen. Well, for say, Hashem takes care of the Ephroch in the Beitz. Hashem can take care of me. So he's always calm. The woman of Kamiki, whatever he does, he's sitting on Fort Knox of gold. He's worried. He doesn't discuss it here, but there's another aspect of the Daiga, and that's Yesh Mona, Reitza Mosai. When a person has one, he always wants 200. When he gets 200, he wants 400. When he's got 400, he wants 800. So the more and more he gets, the poorer and poorer he's getting. His worry's getting bigger and bigger. His lack is getting bigger and bigger the more he gets. When a guy's got 100, how much is he lacking? 100, because he wants 200. When he's got 1,000, how much is he lacking? He wants 2,000. He's lacking 1,000. So the more he gets, the more he wants, the poorer he's getting. The more money he gets, the poorer he's getting. That's what Chazal are telling you. So this guy's well. He makes millions and millions and millions of gold and whatever, and he's making and he's sitting on mamash on a gold bar. But he's riddled with worries and lacks and needs. The Baal Batochen's not lacking anything. He doesn't want anything. He's not lacking anything. So he's rich. The fifth advantage. The Uman HaKamiko is worried from everybody that they'll find out his secret and they'll mention it to the government. He's terrified that he'll get caught. And he's The Baal Batochen, very important people, are scared of him. And even the stones want to do his will. As it says in the Pasuk, Yeshev B'Sei Ser Elyos, Olma L'Hashem Machzi Mutsudose Elokayev Tachbok Hu Yetzilcho Bevrosi Yosech Loch Lo Siro Lo Duug Lo Tuna Elech Ra Himelachav Yetzav Elach Lishmoch B'Chol Trachecho. You've been guarded wherever you go. Ukraine, where are you? Eilechelo Yigosh. We see what's going on over there to everybody, right and left. The whole world's crumbling. Eilechelo Yigosh. It won't come to you. Oirech Yomi Masbeev Rei B'Shuosi. Shanema B'Shef Soros Yatzilecho B'Shevel Lo Yigav B'Chara B'Rav, etc. All the psukim. Kim Avnei Asode B'Risecha V'Chais Asode Hashlom Aloch. Robert Wolfman's got nothing to worry about. He's not worried that someone will discover his secret and report it to the government. He's got nothing to hide. Not only that, the government's scared of him. You see, many times. The Biskarov on his level of betochen, the Nazis were scared of him. But famous may say, how many times do we have to mention until it sinks in? The Biskarov was escaping from Warsaw to Vilna. Vilna was a safe zone for a certain period of time for Yidden. And everyone was rushing from all over the country to Vilna. Vilna was a no-go zone, and the Germans couldn't go in there. They had an agreement with the Lithuanians and the Russians that Vilna became like an independent place for one. All the yeshivas ran to Vilna. But the Germans weren't stupid. They knew that people were going to Vilna, so they set up roadblocks along the way. And people had a horrific time getting to Vilna. Many didn't make it. Many arrived without arms, without legs. No one arrived there with any money, with anything. They stripped them with everything. And the Biskarov traveled from Warsaw to Vilna and unaffected. He was waved through every roadblock, wasn't stopped at any roadblocks, which was unheard of. Except once, they got stopped at a roadblock. And they got ordered out the wagon they were in or whatever. What's the wagon? They were ordered out the wagon. And as they got out the wagon, the Biskarov son, he had a gold watch. And the German soldier said, thank you very much. Bitte dank, you know, danke schön. Took his watch very politely. It's very lucky. They normally just chop off your hand to take the watch. Took the watch. The Biskarov stood up on the side. And they stood there. Life and death moment. Suddenly some German general comes up and says, why are you worrying those people? Let them go. Why are you disturbing those people? Let them go. They get back on the wagon, and they're getting a wagon. The German gives him his watch back. Understand what's going on here? Anybody studied anything about the Holocaust knows that wasn't a day-to-day occurrence. Gave back his watch. Baal Batochen, someone who's holding by Einoid Milvadoi, that's what happens. Even the Nazis are scared of him. He gives him his watch back. That's what the Chaim Soloveitchik is saying. So there's more to that story than I know. Say just to, where do you see that the government's scared of a Baal Batochen? You see here? You see here? The Biskarov in Vilna lived in a very nice house. In a nice house, Chaim always organized. Biskarov arrived, okay? A very nice house. I'm talking about today's standards. In those days, a very nice house. When the Russians came to Vilna, what they did was is they needed housing for their officers and whatever. So the deal was the officer and his wife would come and look at a house. If they wanted the house, you would be moved out to some shack somewhere in the middle of nowhere. That would have to move. So the family was very, very worried. They lived in a very nice house. It wasn't going to take long before someone was going to take it. And they went to see the alternative house, and it was Mamash, it was Gefalik, whatever, from his daughter. The wife wasn't there, but his daughter was, Michael Feinstein's wife was there. She was horrified. The Biskarov said, what are you worried about? This is a milchome in ruchnias. We have to mechazak ourselves in Imun and Betochen, Yebeseder. Every Russian general or officer came to look at the house was disgusted and walked out before even looking at the house. They walked through the front door and they went, yechzach, and they left. It was a very nice house. Eventually, the Biskarov left Vilna. They went, whatever, there was the next stage of the escape and whatever. The very next day, a Russian officer arrived and moved into the house. Kozman, the Biskarov was living there. The Russians came to look at the house and looked disgusting to them. That's the koyach of Betochet. Okay, we're not holding there. We're trying to aim somewhere towards there from where we're holding. You have to get in touch with where you're holding. But that's a major advantage of all Betochet has. He's not worried that people will find out. The Baal Kemiki, he's got to be careful that the kids playing outside don't get suspicious. You know, he's got to lug all this raw material into his machsan or whatever. Neighbors start noticing what's going on. They'll find the cops. This guy's doing something weird there. You better check it out. He's terrified. Baal Batochen's not scared of anybody. That's the fifth advantage that a Baal Batochen has over the Umanakamitko.
What's the difference between the fourth and the fifth?
What's the difference between the fourth and the fifth? The fourth and the fifth is he's worried about.
What's worried?
He's always worried. The Baal Kemik is always worried. That's the advantage the Baal Batochen has of everybody, is Menuchas HaNefesh, Meshuchra Midaigas. The fourth one, he's worried that he's made all this gold and something might happen to him, but after that, he won't money. Or he can just make a little bit whenever he needs, but he might need it, he won't be able to make.
Yeah, the second
one, he's worried about landing up being reported to the cops and getting dragged off to Siberia or worse.
I know you're not going to like this question, but
first you have to check to see that it's a question.
It is.
So no, I want to lock it.
You'll see soon.
So then there's not a question.
How come the Chavos HaLov is just, you could have said the welcome is scared and the Maldachan is not.
It's not one thing. Each one's a different source of his pachad. You might tell me, listen, the Amana Kimiki, you're right. He's worried about, will he have money today? Will he have money tomorrow? The Baal Batochen also doesn't know if he's going to have food tomorrow or not. But the Baal Batochen's not scared of the government because what he's got, the government, it's not also to have Batochen. Moshe and Ken, it's also to have a factory that's producing $100 bills. But there's a deeper answer to your question. And you'll see the Chovas HaLevavos has long lists in every stage of the game. Because the more you mafarit something, the more you break it down, the more you look at each piece, the more you're able to understand it, the more you're able to absorb it. The more you're able to actually own it. I'll give you a simple example. We do this all the time and not enough. You have a problem. What's your problem? Example, I can't learn. Bocha comes to you, can't learn. So what do you do? Bocha comes to you, your son comes to you and says, I can't learn. So you do what the Chovas HaLevavos does. Let's make a list. Let's break it down. What do you mean you can't learn? Learning's made up of lots and lots of little pieces, right? First, you have to get to the base midrash. You can get to the base midrash. Okay. So the first step towards learning you can do. You can sit in your chair. Oh, that I can do. You can open a Gemara. For sure I can open a Gemara. You can sit in front of the Gemara staring at the Gemara. Yeah, that I can do. So halfway, you're already halfway to learn. What do you mean you can't learn? Of the 20 steps you need to learn, 10 you've already taken care of. You with me? It's one of the most powerful tools I ever learned. Okay, now where's the problem? The problem is not that you can't learn. The problem is miluchad po. Abaya is a specific po. When I read, I don't understand. Oh, that's not you can't learn. That means when you read, you can't understand. That's not I can't learn. I can't learn, I can't help you with it. That's too big. You break it down into little pieces and you absorb the little pieces slowly. The approach of the Chovas HaLevavos. He always breaks it down to the smallest pieces and you can break them down even more. You know what I'm saying? Do it for yourself as well. Whenever you have a problem, break it down into the smallest possible pieces you can and see what can you deal with, because that's already success. That'll give you the confidence to take the step into the world that's a little bit more difficult. Ravolovic told me once, he had a couple came to them, happily married, whatever, but they had this problem that the house was just a balagan, but a total mess. There were kids, there were this, whatever, she was busy the whole day, what kind of time, they were coming for an answer. He came home from work, wherever he came home from, yeshiva, I don't know, whatever. There wasn't a place to sit down. The house was such a mess. So Rulik asked the wife, before your husband gets home, can you make sure that there's one seat clean? I don't care what you do with the stuff, throw it on the floor, hang it on the chandelier, like, but can you do that? She said, yeah, that she thinks she can do. I said, fine, let's start with that. Break down the problem. Get the house clean and spitzed and fixed up before you get home. It's not going to happen. But you can get one cushion clean. Tomorrow you may be able to get two. First of all, getting one cushion clean makes the problem that much smaller now. The problem was this big, it's now this big. And second of all, you have a bit of chizuk, you have a bit of confidence because you solved the problem. And if you chizuk, you solve the next problem. I can't learn. Okay, fine, so go get a job. What are you talking about? Break down the problem. Where exactly is the issue? So to you, when you're working on your betochen, you try to see where you're holding, break it down. Don't just swallow the whole thing at once. You'll never solve the problem. Well, look. I saw some murmuring. Excellent.
Just the opposite.
No, no. Bob the Tog doesn't always worry about what he's going to eat tomorrow.
No, no. Also worry.
No, no. We spoke once before. It's sure he's going to deal with it later as well. And that is that, by the way, when I was speaking there wasn't a Bob the Tog. He's talking to us as apprentices. Baal B'tochen never has any worry. Baal B'tochen, Lord, but again, understanding of Baal B'tochen is way beyond us. At the practical level, but from the Bishkarov, you saw that B'tochen doesn't mean that everything's always just fine. B'tochen means that I recognize I have a problem and I go to the right place with that problem and then I'm calm. Person has a panosa problem. So he just sits back and says, oh, Shem Yazor. That's not a Baal B'tochen. Baal B'tochen asks himself, why do I have a panosa problem? Ah, because Hashem wants me to talk to you. He davens, he goes to Hashem, he turns to the right place. He might have to make shtadlis as well. I don't know. I don't want to get too involved in that. That's we'll see shtadlis later when we get to it in shtadality. Aval, if we ever get there. Aval, he's worried. He's genuinely worried. That's not a chesaron in betochen. But he knows what to do with that worry. He turns that worry and he gives it over to Hashem. Now he can be calm. That's what he was saying there. It was from Rav Shtak's Hesped on the Briskerov from Kesem Malchus, where it says, Evrachomim choelecha, run away from Hashem. When you're running away from Hashem, where do you run? When you're hiding from Hashem, where do you hide? You run away from Hashem, you run to Hashem. Where else are you going to run? That's the Briskerov explained. I'm hiding away from you, Hashem. Where do you hide? But Silcha in your shade. In other words, I'm scared because I see Hashem's creating a problem here for me. This problem of panos, it's coming from Hashem. And I'm worried. So what do? I run to Hashem, and then I'm calm. And the child gets a patch from his father. Where does he run? He runs to his father. Because he knows that the loving, caring father that's gave him a patch. And he's in pain. He doesn't know where to run. So he runs to Tati. That's what we were talking about there. The chod. But yeah, we're talking about a person who's transcended that. He's talking about the ideal of the ideal. He's talking about the Baal B'tochen or in-law. You see the Priskerov, you also have to know what to be worried about. He's the Priskerov because it was real. And I heard the stories from my Rebbe and Pinker that were with the Priskerov son who was there. These are real life stories that we have our witness accounts to. That we heard it from people that were there. He lived on the second floor of a building in one place where they were hiding out in the war, whatever. And there was a lot of mortar fire and rockets or whatever. And the approach was to go to the miklat, to go to the basement. They had the air shelters, the bomb shelters under the building, and people would go there. Biskarum's Masupak, where was more dangerous? Because if you're the miklat and the building gets hit, and the building falls on the miklat, you're not going to get out. Moshe Ken, if you're on the second floor and the bomb hits, you're also not going to get out. So he was very, very anxious. Eventually he sighed, it makes no difference. He went to bed. He went to sleep. On the second floor. I was sleeping. So his son said to him, he said, 2 minutes ago, you were mamash sitting here anxious, worried. He said, I was worried about paskining halacha. Now that I know what the halacha is, now I'm going to sleep. I'm not worried about bombs anymore. I was worried about making the correct halachic decision. Where's the safest place to be? Because a person has to make the most responsible, safest decisions in his life. So I was weighing up, where's safer? The minute I came to the conclusion, it makes no difference. It means wherever I sleep halachically is acceptable. So now I'm tired, I'm going to bed. I'm going to sleep. That's B'tochen. That's a Baal B'tochen also. He's worried, yeah, he's worried about doing the rots in Hashem. The minute he knows that he's doing the rots in Hashem, Hashem will calm again. It's another aspect of that Baal B'tochen. One night, there was a lot of heavy mortar, whatever. He made the decision, it would probably be better to go to the Miklat. I don't know what the cheshbon was. I went to the Miklat and a mortar hit the wall and a piece of concrete fell off the roof onto the bed where he would have been sleeping. So his son said to him, you see? He said, if I'd been in the bed, it wouldn't have fallen. And he wasn't just being facetious, like if I would have said it. He meant if I was there, it wouldn't have fallen. There are people that are holding there, but he's very, very, very far from them. If you think you're near there, you're feeling yourself bad. Just come home from the fast and pour a cup of coffee in the milk sour, and you're feeling the whole thing.
Hashem responds to you.
Oh, yes. Hashem tzilcho al yad yeminech. Hashem's like your shadow. You lift up your head, Hashem lifts up his head. You smile at Hashem, he smiles back. Baruch hageva yishtiftach v'Hashem, v'hoi Hashem yiftachu. It's always the hot. You can stand all day trying to light vinegar, it's not going to light. Rabbi Chanina Medosa says, the one who commands oil to burn will command vinegar to burn, and vinegar burns. Why? For him. You see, if vinegar would burn for you, you'd lose your free will. Rabbi Chanina was on such a high level that when vinegar burned for him, it didn't affect his free will. It didn't add anything to his appreciation of the Enoid Milvada, because he was holding there already. You have a difference? If you would get up and light vinegar and it would burn, your free will would be seriously affected. Your beginning basis free will wasn't affected. That's why we don't have miracles today. We do have miracles, but you have to own those miracles. You have to look for them. You have to make them yourself. Everything. The whole world's one big miracle, but they're not open anymore. Because you have to maintain the balance of free will. When you get to a level of Chinam Daisa, your free will is not affected anymore. So then he makes to make it. Then the kasha there is, Gavaldik, this is about this. So why did he have to light vinegar? Just light fresh air. Why do you have to light vinegar? When you're on that level, well, why do you have to light vinegar? Why partly vinegar or oil? Just light fresh air. No, then you're missing the story. The fire doesn't burn because there's a wick or because there's vinegar or because there's anything. It burns because Hashem commands it to burn. So Mechandesa could have just commanded the fresh air to burn. So why did he have to light something? I'll tell you another story. Elisha raised a dead kid. The kid was dead and he raised him alive. He made him alive again. That's amazing. Why did he go into the room when he was on his own and lock the door? What did he lock the door for? And then what did he do? He lay on him, put his eyes on his eyes, his nose, his mouth, and he brought him back to life. What are you doing the hasagah for? What's the act for? Who are you trying to fool? It's nothing to do with you, and you know it's going to have to do with you. The child had been dead for a while. Rigor mortis had set in already. What's he going through the motions for? And it's not for anybody else because there's no one watching. There was no audience. He locked the door. What was he doing? Why did Noah have to build a teva? The teva didn't do anything. There was no place in the teva for everything that Noah needed to get in there. It was a miracle. We had to build a teva for him. Not for the teva. Anyway, it's not going to manage to take all the animals you need to take. Why bother? It's all a big miracle anyway. Rav Desna says you three through all of Chumash, Tanakh, Moshe Rabbeinu, for example, he has to lift up his hand to split the sea. He's lifting up his hand to split the sea. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So why do you have to do that? When you get to this level of Betochen, there's a danger that you might get Gaivadik. On their level, Hashem doing miracles for me. You might have a fleeting thought like that. Hashem demands that you make some ishtadlis to minimize the danger of dying. That's the only reason they're doing anything. Elisha gets down and goes through the motions of, you know, what he learned to that solar course in order to minimize his gaiva on his level. Again, we don't understand what that means. That's why he's making ishtadlis. And if that wasn't a problem, there was no need for that, then you wouldn't have to do that either. But you see many examples through Tanakh of people had to make some action in order to minimize the gaiva. That's a different story. That's the problems of a Baal B'toch, and we don't have this problem. We have nothing to be gaivadik about, so we don't have to. We don't talk about making nishtadlis. We make nishtadlis for other reasons. Hashem, tomorrow we'll look at the sixth advantage.
Thank you.